what it means to follow Jesus. Every year during this particular, what many the secular will call a holiday season, the season of giving is ushered in our country right at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is on a Thursday. Black Friday is on a Friday. For those of you who don't know what that means that that is the beginning of the period of time when all the profits of the large corporations are made. If you've ever been to a mall and you've seen the stores open and you only see three or four people in there, you think, how in the world can they exist? They can exist simply because the Friday after Thanksgiving Day, that all the people get the discounts, which really aren't, but those discounts, and they can make the profit from the whole year. All the other 11 months almost, they don't pull a profit. Many of them don't. But think of what happens during the Thanksgiving period. Thanksgiving for Christians is just that. I give to show thanks. You give to those who are hurting, to you give to others. Why? To show thanks. You mean I'm going to thank them by giving them. You're going to thank God. During Thanksgiving, Christians, our focus is on continually what we do to show Christ our love. Well, you see, God created all existence. So there are none in existence, nothing, and certainly no humans in existence that God did not create. So God allowed each to be born. And in that birth, He gives each of us the freedom, the free will to believe His Holy Spirit as He convicts the hearts of non-believers and then continues to convict on a daily basis those who follow Jesus. If you are not under conviction as a Christian, you got a problem. For as soon as you and I are convicted of a need, or as we would say convinced, convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a need over here, Larry. I want you to show me thanks by giving of your time, of your resources, of the ability that I give you, and all that you have is a gift from me. Give thanks. That should be an everyday walk with every Christian. Many will say, well, look, I raised a family. I worked hard to get that family up. Isn't that the giving? Yes, actually, it's the giving to yourself and to your family. If Jesus only came to minister to His family, He would be ministering to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Are you catching on here? He would be ministering then to His earthly family. But He came so that all that are ever born could have eternal life and be a part of His family. He gave to show His love, His thanksgiving to God the Father. And then He said, I have spoken nothing that my Father did not tell me to speak. Each word that came from the mouth of Jesus came from His Father. And all those words that came straight, we wanted to see God. And God says, fine, I'll come down. And He came as a babe in a manger. And through His Son, we get to see God. Well, when Jesus ascended on back to heaven, it didn't mean we no longer get to see Him. For don't we understand that in our hearts of thanksgiving, We see the greatest giver of them all. It is the picture of Jesus and the word of his Father that we hold within our heart. You and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are to be thankful. Thankful that God lets us live. Thankful that Almighty God calls us family. Once I became a part of the family of God, then in order for the world to harm me or my immediate family, they got to go through God. And the Lord said, but I'll always be there with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But oh, we feel so distant from Jesus. Well, who moved? Jesus says, you want peace? You won't find it in the world. You want happiness? You won't find it in the world. You can own everything, all the toys you can think of. The finest of everything on earth. And how many do we witness that kill themselves because they're missing something? It's not a something, it's a who. Whole world centers around get, get, get. The whole focus of Jesus' ministry is to give, give, give. And God searches the heart of his children. And as he looks to the depth of his family, he sees hurt. He sees pain. He sees never-ending turmoil. Families fighting. Families turning away from God. The Savior of the world witnesses those who profess to be of his family running to the world. Many will say, well, you know, they were never saved. That's not scriptural. Listen, folks, I have no idea who's saved and who isn't. You got that? I know a lot of folk that are theologians getting that way with the degrees and all, just so that they can prove God does not exist. Sadly, in the heart of so many, he does not. But listen, folks, that's our ministry. My ministry is not to say, okay, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. I have no idea who actually has truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. I don't know. You don't even know that I have. It's all in the heart of the believer. Well, how can we recognize? Listen as to whether or not you hear the voice of Christ instead of the voice of what the world calls reason. Jesus says, look at where you are. Is that where you want to stay? Is that where you want to be for the rest of your walk on earth? I remind us all the time, we got one shot at this, folks. I have one shot at living my life in this body on this earth. And no, I'm not coming back as a rat or a cow. I got one shot. And that shot focuses more on what I thank God for about others than on myself. Has to be. That's what following Jesus is all about. In all circumstances, give thanks. Oh, gosh, how many times have I even taught on this one? In all circumstances, give thanks. Well, let me give you the whys. Why that you and I need to give thanks in all circumstances. The first why is because it's God's will. God wills it. And he says, I want you to give thanks so that you in my son, Jesus. I want you to give thanks so you will be in Christ. Our whole life focuses on walking through this world, training, learning, listening to the voice of Almighty God, and to be in his son, Jesus, and or him being in us. to eventually we become like Christ. On this earth, the Bible says no. We have too much sin in this physical existence. Too much pride separates us from the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Why would I be thankful for all circumstances? Because it's the will of God. Without the bad circumstances in your life, how could you feel the pain of others? I get corrected quite often that people get upset with me because I laugh at my cancer. I do not laugh and mock other people's cancer. I laugh at my own. And I mock Satan, saying, is that the best you got? Because you see, as Christians, we must be in Christ. And all the circumstances that hit us are a gift from God. Thank you, Father, for letting me get cancer. Thank you, Father, for letting me feel pain, hurt, the devastation of war, the combat of war, battle. Thank you, Father. For now you and I must thank what we're truly thankful for, and give those thanks to God, and then use what we have learned during our pain in life to help others get out of the ditch of life. Be thankful in all circumstances. The Lord says, joyful always. Pray continually, for this is God's will for the Christian. The second why is this. Because unthankful people are in the world, not in Christ. Do you hear me? Unthankful people are in the world, not in Christ. Now, can a Christian become one of the unthankful people in the world? Absolutely. You need to pay close attention to the New Testament. As we are New Testament Christians, be a great thing book to read. Pay attention. All the preaching that goes on in the New Testament period is to the church. Oh, Paul's really jumping on them there, isn't he? He's nailing those lost people. He's nailing the church. He's telling the church they've fallen short. He says, you're trying to change the church into your own personal idols. Well, I've known people over the years that had their own personal pew. I remember when I first came here, my mother was asked to move four times. Four times. My mother was asked to move because she was on the wrong pew. I'll never forget that. My mother used to be a little cockier than she is at 101. No, I take it back too. But it was obvious, and I think, what? What's going on? Well, this is ours. That is ours. Folks, I am not even mine. I do not have authority over God's creation, including myself. You can get cocky all you want. And people say, well, you know, bad things are going to happen to that preacher. He's got cancer because he's really not a child of God. Why does God let this happen to me? Well, the big problem is a bunch of crybaby Christians in this world today. Why me, Lord? Why not everybody else? Listen, folks, do you remember that Jesus led a perfect life? He loved, he raised the dead, made the blind to see, the lame to walk, and they crucified him. Do you remember God's children, the first two, called Adam and Eve? The church today cries out, give us a larger facility. Give us more excitement. Make the building and all just perfect, and we will worship there. If you don't worship in the middle of a field or a parking lot, you won't worship God in a church or in a building. Adam and Eve proved it. You do realize everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. They didn't even have to worry about a rainstorm because God watered everything from the below the earth. It just came up. They had a perfect situation. What was the problem? Sin. Have you noticed that there's a lot of sin going on? And I'm talking about myself and yourself. Did you notice that you battle a sinful nature every day? Or perhaps we quit battling it and just chose it? Well, you know, I'm saved, going to heaven. If you truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're absolutely right. But do you give thanks to the Lord who watches over you, protects those who travel? Do we give thanks to Him during the times of trouble and turmoil? No, look at America today. No, we're backing away from the evil. And yet, you and I, Christian, we are commanded by Jesus Christ, do not call that which is good evil and that which is evil good. These Islamic vicious animals are slaughtering innocent individuals, and we stand in fear. Next time you get afraid, tell Jesus on them. Hey, you want to see God work in your life? Admit He's in your life. You want to see a battle fought? Shut your mouth, stand there, and watch Him fight it for you. But you got to show up. We have to be on the front line. Now what are you going to do, preacher? What do you mean, what am I going to do? I don't even know why I had to be on the front line. I don't understand the will of God. I am committed to following His will, and I don't understand why He tells me to stop right here. But I'm thankful, for at one point in my physical condition, if I'd taken one more step, I'd have fell flat on my face. Go to the line and watch me battle. Am I not the Lord your God? Listen to Him speak to the heart of His children as we run in fear, fear on every side. And Jesus says, fear not, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So let's say one decides to do away with your pastor. Won't happen unless it will glorify the name of Jesus. Then so let it be written, so let it be done. But we have no right to back away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and using His name because of our fear that somebody's going to be offended. Well, this whole garbage offends me and is a threat to the freedom of the United States of America, and is a threat to each family. Destroy the family, destroy a nation. Second why, let me try to get through this. Because unthankful people are in the world, not in Christ, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But know this, now know it, he says. Don't guess and you're not getting, know this. That in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, disobedient to their parents, disobedient to their parents. It only has it once in here, but I want you to get the point. No respect. Let me remind you, look at on that 2 Timothy 3:1-5, remember something. You remember hearing the roll call of the saints, about all the saints of old and all? This is the roll call of the lost. This is the roll call of those who go against Christ. Last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. That's not same sex. That deals with selfishness within their own pride, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Ha! Unthankful. Unthankful is listed as a part of the roll call of the lost. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Satan's at church every Sunday before anybody gets here. Having a form of godliness, but denying his power. Oh yeah, I can say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, will the Lord watch through you on this? Well, now I'm not saying that. I'm saying praise the Lord. Well, in order for me to be thankful about the ability to praise the Lord, then should I not be thankful enough to give? Do I give from my greed? Do you give from your heart? Do you give out of love or out of having a form of godliness but denying its power? And from such people, turn away. Well, preacher, you got to forgive. Let me bring that back to you again. The many could come and say, can you forgive me for what I've done against this one or that one? I do not have that authority. Listen, folks. If whatever was committed about that to that individual, whatever the sin, whatever the hurt, whatever the pain, can only truly be forgiven by the recipient of it. I do not have the authority to say, okay, I forgive all of the Nazis that slaughtered the Jewish nation. I forgive them all. I can't. I wasn't there. There weren't even family of mine that I know. Forgiveness? Can the dead forgive an individual? We'll wait until we die. When I get ready to die, Brother Larry, don't you worry, I'll forgive them. Now, you don't know when you're going to die. That's why we're to be prepared always. But see, many want to be forgiven while they continually do the same thing they're asking forgiveness for. That's not repentance, people. That's pleasure seeking. The last why? Because only the thankful. We're getting ready to observe the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper. The holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper is for believers. Those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life and followed him in baptism. That's the Lord's Supper and being a part of the body of Christ. So why must I give thanks in all circumstances? Because only the thankful can receive the blood and the body of Christ. That's what the holy ordinance focuses on. The blood and the body of Jesus, right? His body broken, his blood given for you and for me. 1 Corinthians 10:14-17. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. We too often say, well, I don't worship idols. Do you care more about the thing you have than the person that does not have Jesus? Then it becomes an idol. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Can't get off that one sentence, can I? There's a sermon in every two words uttered in Scripture, and a different one every time you read them. He calls them his dear friends. He is not saying, you animals who are acting that way out there in the world, dear friends. I speak to sensible people. My mother and her friend has this saying, well, you know, common sense teaches you. And I keep trying to convince them, and probably correct, but common sense is not used in this nation anymore. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, Jesus, one only. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, Jesus. We who are many are one body. That's the church, the physical body of Christ. For we all partake of the one loaf. And yet Christian denominations fuss and gripe about each other because of something different done in the churches. Yet they're worshiping Jesus. The world doesn't need to condemn Christianity. Denominations are doing it. Christians battling against Christian. The Lord is quite capable of dealing with wrong. He does not need your pastor to judge whether a person's going to hell or heaven because what they don't do in their congregation. All circumstances are important in your life. But all those circumstances that are going on will drag you down to the pits of the earth unless you are thankful to God for them. And then you will witness the true power of our Savior as He stands up. When Jesus stands up for you, doesn't mean you're going to see Him, but it does mean that all hell sees Him. It does mean that the heavenly host witnesses it. And as you give thanks to the Lord, as did Stephen, the first martyr of the church, and he says, I see. Prior to dying, stoned to death, he looks. Can't you picture that smile on his face? They saw themselves stoning a human being. The real Stephen is out of there, praising God. And they even became more angry. But God saved his soldier, his family, his sons, his daughters, his children. Because we're family. Family of God. Be thankful. Let's pray. Father, each of us lift our heart to you, realizing, dear Lord God, of the hurt and pain that's going on all around us within our own families. Father, we pray that you will give us the courage to stand. Father, we pray that as the courage comes, that it'll be your power that deals with it, not ours. We humbly come to you, Father, asking for your direction, for your peace, and we come thanking you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all the pain, for all the suffering, for in it we truly see you, our Savior. We ask a blessing now upon each one through the Thanksgiving period throughout the year, Father, reminding them that we give thanks continually and every day is Christian, is Christmas, and every day is the resurrection of Jesus. In our mind, we see his completed work. Thank you, Father, for your protection in Jesus' name. Amen.